The following podcast contains adult themes and languages and should not be listened to by anybody. Heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
It's, the fuck show is this? 85. That's the number.
After dark.
There you go. She got it. I blanked. So sue me, internet. You're welcome. Hap.
I don't get it.
Anyway, Jesse is staring a hole into me right now. Why are you staring that hole into me?
I don't know. I'm just enjoying my Swedish fish.
I blanked.
And I know you did.
Can you give me your best Swedish chef impersonation while you eat the fish?
I cannot.
Lindsay.
Bork, bork, bork.
Those voices you hear tonight, we got Jesse Kimball down at the end of the table, co-owner of Podzilla 1985, the luxurious, lovely host of Nerd Up on Sundays.
Luxurious
host of Nerd Up on Sundays. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, buddy.
We got some big news to share here in a second.
It's true.
Big news.
Real big news.
Not fake news.
Not fake news.
Not Huey Lewis and the fake news. Did you hear about that?
No.
It's a thing I created yesterday.
Oh, no. Asa did.
Asa did not. Where did you hear that?
He put a claim on it.
He put a claim on it, but we haven't done the arbitration process on it yet. All I know is that Dalton didn't.
Okay.
So, anyway.
And Dalton is now.
Or at least that's the only thing I remember seeing, because I remember snickering in the car when I read it.
And that's Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi, I'm here.
Fresh from her trip to Farmington.
Yeah. That was I caught some Pokemon.
And you got free
nothing good, but
you got free steak.
I got free steak, I got free wings, I got lots of free candy that I probably shouldn't have consumed all day, but I did.
How is it every show we do, I have to beg you to be loud? You are so goddamn loud right now.
I'm sorry. I might just be too close to the mic for once.
Okay, now you're too low.
Okay. I just don't know how to fluctuate my voice properly,
too
apparently.
Loud. No, okay, let me explain what happened with the because I know Asa and Dalton are listening to this, so I don't want them to get upset thinking I'm trying to steal the creation that I made. What happened is yesterday we were watching King of the Hill, and it's the episode where Khan is manic depressive.
I'll never hear Huey Lewis in the news song for the first time ever again.
Yes, because if you don't know, you can find live streams of King of the Hill on YouTube.
Game changer.
Was a game changer, but I found the flaw. It's the same five episodes over and over again.
Oh, is it really?
It's the episode where Bobby meets the three girls. It's the episode where Khan's manic depressive. It's the episode where Bill gets roommates. And I think maybe one or two other ones. But every time I turn on all of the channels.
Isn't it the very last episode?
The very last episode with the meet where they're on the team. It's the same episodes on every channel.
I mean, I was watching last night. I didn't see any of those episodes. The episode that I saw was where Hank and Bobby were trying to, or had to back the truck down the snowy mountain.
Oh, no, I didn't get that one. Maybe you're looking at a different stream. I've got, literally, when I get on my YouTube, I've got like six streams that say King of the Hill streams live.
Yeah, me too.
Every single one of them is the same episodes. So you have to send me the one that you got. Anyway, but it's that episode, and it's the part where Khan says, like Lindsay said, I'll never hear a Huey Lewis in the news song for the first time ever again. And I said, man, that's me right now. Like, that's me, basically, in my life. And Dalton said, well, you're upset you'll never hear the Huey Lewis in the news song again. That we all agree on. It's at that point that the stories split, because each one of us has claimed to then have created the saying Huey Lewis and the fake news. Now, I don't know how much of this Asa is pretending to upset Dalton. And at this point, I don't know how much I'm pretending to upset Dalton. But Dalton's very upset because he swears up and down he created it. I think I created it, and Asa thinks he created it, and we have no other witnesses to back up any of our stories.
Can't you all agree that it's a group effort?
Not that group.
Oh, thinking of bad music stuff, can I tell you the horrible, horrible thing that happened today at the meeting?
Go for it.
So part of the icebreaker that we did, we all had to like write down the last concert, a concert that we'd been to. Well, one of the girls wrote down MC Hammer. But the person that read it as Mick Hammer.
Mick Hammer!
To which I started getting images of hamburgers with poofy pants, or MC Hammer working at McDonald's, Or Ronald McDonald dressed like MC Hammer.
One of those is not far from the truth. I'm pretty sure you can find Hammer at your local McDonald's serving up burgers.
But just the fact that she read it as Mick Hammer.
No, that's fantastic.
Hold on. I got to eat these Swedish fish. They're snacking. Keep talking, Lindsay.
And then there was another one. Another person wrote down Motley Crue. And whoever said it pronounced it wrong. And someone was all like, what? And we're like, Motley Crue? And they're like, yeah, that's it. Which then the joke then followed as, was this in the 1980s?
Huh. I mean, how many of those managers are, you know,
old?
Older.
Two of them are older than me.
Well, you're not old. So that's not.
I know.
When I say older, I mean like 50s.
Well, I think the oldest is 42.
Oh.
I think.
What's the youngest?
20.
That's the one that pisses you off. That's the one.
Yeah, no, it was 20 because he was all sad last night because like
he couldn't drink.
Everyone else was able to get one. He's like, I feel like a baby, and we're like, Chrissy's kids are down there. They're younger than you.
Oh, put him at the kids' table. No alcohol for him. Jesse, let's tell everybody the great news.
Yeah,
can I lead this off?
Absolutely.
So we got some great news yesterday. I created a group called Huey Lewis and the Fake News. Have we did that story already?
Yes.
Okay. No. Go ahead. I haven't heard this one.
Never mind. No, we got some actual exciting news. Jesse, let us know in the group chat. We haven't announced this publicly yet. I'm going to let you take it over because this is your baby. This is Nerd Up news. I'm just previewing it on this show because I'm so excited about it. So please tell everybody what's going on.
I mean, it's very impactful for all of PZ85. But, we were contacted, on behalf of Giant Sparrow. A video game developer. They have launched a game called What Remains of Edith Finch. For those of you out there who may have heard of it, it came out on PC and PlayStation, I believe, in April.
10 out of 10 on Steam, by the way. Huge game.
Yeah, no, it's looking. All the reviews are great. It's coming out on Xbox One July 19th. And we were contacted to have the creative director of Giant Sparrow Games, Ian Dallas. He wants to be on our show so he can promote the game.
That's awesome.
Yep. So we're actually going to have a very special Nerd Up Presents on Monday. And it'll be a Monday evening show. We are still going to do regular Nerd Up this Sunday.
So you guys aren't saving this for the next Sunday? You're going to post it on Monday?
Yep, I'm going to post it on Monday.
Ooh,
well, I mean,
that's a big
because
week.
The game comes out Tuesday. So, Wednesday. The game comes out Wednesday.
Gotcha. So you want to get that out ASAP.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's big. Like I said, this game is very, very popular. It's well received. This isn't the first time we've skirted with video games before. Our own Double H, of course, starred in two video games for virtual reality that you can find on Steam, which I still need to buy because I have the Oculus Rift and I want to play them. That's it when it comes to us with video games. I was trying to think of something. Well, Pat Kennedy's been making that game for a couple years now.
Him and Ben. Apparently, they've made like some fairly substantial progress on it. Like,
we'll have them on the show whenever they get it done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to promote their game.
But again, that is this Monday, the creative director of What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah, of the studio behind it.
Of the studio behind it.
Yeah, Giant Sparrow.
Ian Dallas.
Yes.
Will be on a special Nerd Up to talk about the game ahead of its release. Very cool. That's one of those things that, it's like, you know, when we started hanging out with these wrestlers and these well-known wrestlers, and I'm hanging out with Ron Simmons and we're hanging out with Kyle O'Reilly and all these other guys. And it's like, okay, the wrestling part is cool. Now Nerd Up is hanging out with developers and they're getting people to actually message them and say, we want to talk to you about our video games. It's just like so much success in this show. And it baffles me why.
Right? Like, that's still one of the things, like, I have it as, like, planned, and I haven't decided if I'm serious about it or not, as the last question in the interview. So, how'd you find us here, PZ85? Because I'm still convinced, despite what the internet tells me and what the website tells me and everything else, that the only people that listen to this show are the people in the PZ85 group chat.
Yeah, it's just us.
And also Trevor and Kevin.
The first five questions Jesse's gonna ask is this a joke? No. All right. But are you for real? Yes.
Is Ashton Kutcher about to come out? Am I punked?
Can I see some credentials, please? You also got a free copy of the game, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I got a demo or a full copy of the game that I get to actually play. Hopefully, I'll have it beat before Monday so I can actually talk about it.
Now, is this on the Xbox One?
I got it on PC.
Okay.
So that's the code they gave me was for PC.
Yeah, you definitely need to play it because we definitely need to do our homework on this one because we want to impress. That way we get more. Imagine if we started getting like advanced copies of stuff, if Nerd Up became one of those.
Oh, that would be amazing. Like if we started getting advanced copies for reviews and everything.
I would suddenly be much more involved with Nerd Up. If it was like, hey, we got invites to E3, I would go, when are we going?
Well, I mean, if we got invites to E3, you would come.
Like, I would hope so. Just on principle.
Yeah.
Like if we got invites to WrestleMania, I would take you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you were co-owner of PZ85.
The creator.
Yes.
Of PZ85. This is my vision that I stole from other people.
If they contacted me about like, we want to send you to E3 so that you can be at the following conferences and review them on your show. Yes, I would bring you.
But what if there's only 3 spots? Who do you take?
Ooh.
Don't answer that. You're going to hurt someone's feelings.
I know. That's why I'm not going to answer that question.
Good. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
I think what would happen, if we got just 3 spots, I would think that we would all pitch in for 1 ticket for the 4th. Like, assuming the 4 would be, because I don't think Mandy or Lindsay would really care to go to E3.
I mean, it would be cool, but I would rather let someone that actually wants to do the whole video game thing go.
I feel like Mandy would want to go.
She probably
would. But we could probably just stow her away in like a suitcase.
I mean, she would probably fit.
Yes.
By the way, Mandy not here tonight.
Accurate. She had other plans.
Thanks, Mandy.
So, yeah, she's not here. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, that would be the 4. It would be me, you, Dalton, and Asa.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Allie has any interest in going. Like, I think the Allie and Mandy are probably both in the same boat as Lindsay, where they think it would be cool.
I think Allie's in less of a boat than them, because Lindsay vaguely likes video games. Mandy very much likes video games.
Mandy very much likes
certain
video games.
It would depend on what I'd get to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allie has no interest in video games, like, at all, almost.
No, fair enough.
You know, there's very, very,
So,
I was say, please don't tell me someone's coming up to the door.
No. We're
That's
fine.
Been happening a lot lately. Anyway, yeah, the only reason Allie would want to go is just because she doesn't want to get left behind.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like if the 4 of us went and they only gave us 3 passes, the 4 of us could pitch in and 1 ticket wouldn't be very expensive.
Hopefully not. Or we just go. Do you know who we are? Give us 4 tickets.
That's right.
Jackass. We'll bury E3 on our show. You think anyone will come back next year? I don't think so.
And then they just look at you. Yes. Yes, they would. Shut up.
So, I got an idea. You know that show I've been pitching? The new show that I want to do at the end of the week?
Saturday news show?
Yeah. Half hour headlines. Mm-hmm. I had a segment. Did I tell you about the segment I want to put on there?
Oh.
No.
It's good.
I want to have a segment called Well Actually, where I take something that someone said in the news and I give the statement that I go, well, actually, and then I explain why they're wrong, in my opinion. I thought that would be cute.
I know, I like it.
Cause I love well actually.
Well, cause who other than me does that? Cause I know I started doing it as a joke.
Yeah, well, and that became a joke. We were like, Jesse gets his water from the well actually. And I thought it was an internet thing. Like when I thought of this up, I didn't think of it as a mock to you. I really didn't. I just thought it was an internet thing.
You thought of like a meme.
Yeah, I thought it was a meme where people like, Trump says something stupid, and then there's always someone that goes, well, actually. So I thought that was a thing. Is that not a thing?
Not that I know of. I started doing it to make fun of Mr. Blue.
Actually.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I mean, you know who
all coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Now, Allie, that's no doubt.
Yeah, furthering my efforts to not call people out, put people on blast
on
the show.
You did a good job.
Everybody knows who I'm talking about. I started doing it to make fun of him, and then it really, unfortunately, started entering my standard speech.
Like it's in your vocabulary now.
Yeah, now
it's in your dictionary.
So now, whenever somebody says something that's ridiculous, and I try not to, but I was like, oh well, actually,
I'm proud that you would own it so quickly. Like, I assume this is going to be one of those things that, like, anybody that knows that you say that, because I honestly forgot you said it. I really did. But anyone that knows you said it, when I said that, we're like, uh-oh. No, Shannon. Don't let him in on it. But no, that's good.
No, yeah. Like, I mean, I understand. Like,
And there's a lot to well actually this week. Because I swear, every time we come in on Thursday, I don't want to talk about politics.
But something happens.
I can't think of a week that's gone by where something didn't happen. And this week was big.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we say that every week. But this week was big. Did you hear about the recent? You've had to have heard about this.
You're talking about more emails?
Yeah. Yeah. This time, not Hillary's. So Donald Trump Jr. caught in a web of lies about meeting with a Russian lawyer about information. You know that old meme, I have information that will incriminate Hillary Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
It's a legitimate thing because that's pretty much what they said to him. And he went to this meeting to find out. And apparently, quote unquote, they didn't get anything from it. But it shows legitimate collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians to incriminate Hillary Clinton and win the election for Donald Trump. And yet nothing. Again,
mm-hmm.
nothing. There's outrage, but outrage without action is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trump Jr. might still go to jail.
But then highly doubt it.
Oh, I do too. And then Trump will pardon him.
And no one will say anything.
Yeah.
I posted this on Facebook.
Isn't that a major conflict of interest?
What is, but he's the president.
Yeah. He gets, still. He gets to do it.
He's the president and Republicans are in power. Like they're untouchable right now. A recent poll, as of a couple days ago, 85% of the GOP it supports Donald Trump still and are happy with his performance. 85%.
I feel like that's such a lie.
Wasn't that Congress people?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because importantly, not 85% of Republicans in the United States.
No. We're not. We're strictly talking about
85%
people,
of like politicians. Yes. Like, of sitting members of Congress.
Yes.
Yeah.
85% still support the president because
I'm sick to my stomach.
I know it's enough to make you just wonder what's going on.
It's because the party told them to.
Yeah, party lines.
Yeah,
it's a pissing contest. It always has been, and it's so frustrating.
Well, can they quit pissing in my Cheerios?
No, because I mean, what are you going to do about it? Basically, Republicans right now they're just putting a finger into your chest, poking you, go like, "What are you going to do about it, little man? You voted us in. You gave us this power.
I didn't.
Well, no, you definitely didn't. I didn't. None of us on this show did.
No. I mean, to be fair, you could say that a majority didn't even vote them in.
A majority did. Well, they didn't vote Trump in, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and even like a lot of the Congress people, the way they've mapped out the districts, like a lot of the Congress people wouldn't have those seats were it not for how the maps were drawn.
The gerrymandering.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a significant problem.
Yes, it is. And also a significant problem is that this is the best part. So Donald Trump's team actually wrote out the letter for Donald Trump Jr. to release publicly. So like the explanation and whatnot.
Yeah.
Trump's presidential team wrote that for him. And if that's not a conflict, I don't know, man. I don't know at what point you have to get so frustrated that something has to happen. Something has to happen.
I mean, it would make sense that his team would do it because the team would be protecting themselves as well.
Yeah, but I think the only way they can get out of this smelling good is if, cause the whole explanation that I've heard so far is that he was not a member of the team, that he was a private citizen, and that shows there's no collusion between the Trump team and that. But if the Trump team is now defending him and writing out his explanations, that.
Yeah, they can't have that both ways.
Right. And I'd say this is a huge mistake and that this could be the thing that finally gets him, but we both know it won't be. Like, he's going to serve his full term and there's probably a chance he'll get reelected.
Yeah.
Let that soak in.
Yeah.
I'll be over here gouging my eyeballs out.
I'm going to be.
Won't help.
Then
you won't get insurance because you got all those pre-existing conditions.
Oh, she's already a woman.
She has a vagina. So
yeah. Pre-existing condition.
That's a pre-existing condition.
I have menstrual cycles. I'm already screwed.
Yep.
I'm going to be 40 almost when Trump gets out of office legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be 45 when he gets out again. 44. I just can't. I don't want to spend a whole time talking about this, but man, that just blows your mind that this is even a thing that we're talking about still. And the whole fake news thing and, you know, if it's fake news, there's no collusion and all that stuff. Out the window. It's proven. They got caught lying again. Why are you still defending it? Republicans that are listening to the show, one of you.
Easy. Trump supporters. Remember, we're trying to separate. Because Republicans, not every Republican is a Trump supporter. Most Republicans I know at this point are no longer Trump supporters.
But I know a lot that's, even though they're not Trump supporters, they still vote down the line because of Republicans.
I mean,
I think we need to draw a line between Republicans and conservatives. Because I think.
Well, yeah, that line's been there.
That, because even Joe Scarborough, who I watch every morning on Morning Joe, I'm a big fan of him and Mia Brzezinski. He was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert the other night. And they asked him flat out, because he's talking about how terrible Trump is. And they're like, but you are a Republican, aren't you? And he said, well, I am, but I'm not going to be anymore. I have to become an independent. And I think a lot of people, everyone should be an independent, first off. You should not be a Democrat or a Republican. You should be an independent. Don't vote down the party lines. Vote for whoever makes the most sense.
I mean, and you can have, like, your political leanings. Like, the Republicans are the party of the conservatives. And the Democrats are the party of the liberals.
Right.
But, like, I don't claim to be a Democrat.
Me neither.
Obviously, I'm very liberal, and my political ideals definitely lean liberal, but I wouldn't claim to be a Democrat.
But if there was an election, and you had a party candidate like Donald Trump for the Democrats, somebody who was horribly unqualified, who was, just a mistake, would you vote for him just because he was Democrat?
It depends on the other candidate.
Well, I'm saying, okay, like, look at this election. You had, and I've heard people say before that Hillary Clinton was the absolute worst person to put against Donald Trump, that she was the worst candidate in modern Democratic history. I'm not going to go as far as to say that, because if you look at who she is, she was qualified for the job. She's done public service for so long in government, privately. She intelligent, all of this stuff. She should not have had to prove she deserved the job versus a guy that's done real estate who, you know, his claim to fame is that he tweets stupid things and that he cheats on his wife and trades in for a new model every couple of years.
Well, I mean,
that's his qualifications. So if you had someone like that running against, you know, a Republican who you might not completely agree with his ideas, but he's also a qualified person and not a nut job, wouldn't you vote for that Republican out of, you know, conscience?
Yeah. I mean, I absolutely feel like if the roles were flipped, like if I were, you know, very conservative and I had to choose between, you know, Trump and Hillary, I'm pretty certain I still would have chosen Hillary. I think a lot of the problem of what happened this time around, the propaganda machine was just chugging hard.
And it's still chugging.
Oh, yeah. Because I couldn't talk to a single person about the election that was that didn't like the Democratic Party. Like any Republican that I talked to, they all talked about Benghazi. They talked about her emails. They talked about how, you know, she is like a terrible person, the worst of the worst. And I'm like, but why? Why do you think that? Like, Have you actually looked up Benghazi and
Hillary Clinton?
Oh my God. Yeah, no, and that's the stuff I would get all the time.
Yeah.
Is just like they wouldn't stand reason, they wouldn't hear logic, they didn't like any of it. They just throw it out the window. Like, "Well, yeah, but her emails."
What about them?
Yeah, do you know what's in the emails? Do you know why it was a big deal? And literally, do you? Not you personally, but like the people that complained about it, do you even know why the emails were such a big deal?
And a lot of them don't.
They don't. Or do you know why Benghazi was a big deal? Do you know what happened in Benghazi? And they don't. They just heard it on TV and it became part of their argument.
Because here's what they know about them. With Benghazi, like, well, Hillary killed our own troops.
Yes.
That's what they know about Benghazi.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. She murdered, U.S. troops. And then with the emails, like, well, that was treason. She's treason. She was selling her information to the Russians.
Yeah, the delicious irony that was treason for them. That was unproven treason. And now you have Donald Trump who has blatantly colluded with Russia.
Nah, that's just mass liberal media.
And this is proven. Donald Trump Jr. released
fake news.
He himself released the emails.
Fake news.
Everyone's everyone's giving him, like, they're trying to give him credit for this. They're saying, well, look how transparent he is. He released the emails himself. Good on him. He released them. He's so transparent.
Only because he got caught.
Only because the New York Times was about to print the emails. And he went, no, here it is. You know, the thing is, if I say it first, then it looks a little bit better.
You save a little bit of face.
Right.
That's a classic PR move. Get ahead of it.
And there are people that, you know, I know I get very political. Anybody that knows me, I get very political. I'm very passionate about it. And I post it on my Facebook sometimes. And I know, like, I try to be neutral, but sometimes I just can't be. And what's really frustrating to me is when I post something on my own Facebook about it. Like, I posted something the other day when this first came out. And what frustrated me the most about it was that there are still people who, when faced with the problems we have, still go back to, well, it would have been just as bad with Hillary. My friend Aaron Britton, who I love Aaron Britton, But when I posted this thing, and he's an old friend of mine, we've known each other forever, and I still love him right now. There's no drama. But when I posted the thing about, you know, Russia and the lies and all that stuff, and my basic point was, this is a political problem. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. We have to hold people accountable for the things that they do. You know, his reply was literally, I'm reading this. Unfortunately, we'd be having the same conversation at Clinton won. Both are terrible candidates, both, with their feet on the gas headed towards the cliff. That doesn't matter. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that doesn't matter. You cannot go, well, yeah, but if we had Clinton, because we don't have Clinton. We don't have it. You can't worry about the what if scenario when you have a real scenario right now that needs to be faced.
And it's not even worrying about it. Like, they are trying to justify it. They're like, well, I mean, yeah, that's bad, but it would have been worse with Hillary.
And that doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. Like, even that's if not that a justification.
Right. And even if it was true, it wouldn't matter. Like, yeah. Even if that was true, if Hillary Clinton was the absolute worst candidate that's ever existed, and had she won, she would have gassed babies and murdered Muslims and Jews. Even if that were true, she didn't win. Donald Trump won, and we have to face these problems. And then when I pointed that out, his reply was, We are, as a country, they've provided us with zero sound presidential candidates for the last 25 years. Parties don't matter. Winners don't matter. We all lose a little more with each passing regime. Would you rather drive off a cliff at 150 miles per hour or 125 miles per hour? That doesn't matter. You are missing the big picture here. Stop worrying about what ifs, people. This is what's really happening right now, and you need to pay attention to it.
Yeah. It's the here and now. That's what you got to worry about.
Here and now.
We all have accepted that Donald Trump won.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to use Hillary would have been worse as your justification for how bad Trump is.
I mean, Trump won because of reasons, but still, he won.
Yeah, no, like, we can argue that all day long. The point is, he won, and we need to do something about what he is currently doing instead of just saying, like, well, it's better than what would have happened if we had had Hillary.
Yeah, because you can't worry about that right now. That's like if I slit my wrist and you guys were like, well, imagine if he had shot himself in the head. I'm still dead. I'm still dead. It doesn't matter.
Why do you always always got to go morbid with it?
Because life is morbid right now. And, you know, you're thinking, what are we supposed to do? We've already protested. We've voiced our displeasure. We didn't vote for the guy. What can we do? We really can't do anything. We have to keep the pressure on. It's up to the media to keep the pressure on, to keep reporting the stories that they say are fake news. Because, yes, yeah, some of the stuff doesn't pan out, but then it does. For all the people that said, don't pay attention to the fake news, well, now look what happened this week. And it's really up to the GOP to finally take a stand for America and tell Donald Trump enough is enough. They're not going to do that. That's why it's up to you guys in the next election to really vote them out of office.
And part of me really hopes that the reason Trump won is just because so many people that would have voted Hillary stayed home because they're like, there's no chance Trump is going to win.
Yeah, well, we thought that. I actually went back and listened to that episode where we sat around reading the results live on the air and got sadder and sadder and sadder. Oh, yeah. As the realization came,
honestly,
that Donald Trump was going to win.
The entire, like, 6 months preceding that episode, 6 months preceding election night, is just like, you can hear each consecutive episode of us getting sadder and sadder, because we start with just like, oh, Trump's running. I guess we did the whole, like, he's running as a joke bit. And all this other stuff. And then as it got, well, surely he's not going to make it out of this. Surely he's not going to make it out of that.
Oh, he said what? He said that Ted Cruz's father had a role in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He can't get away with that. And now Ted Cruz is his bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Christie, who he called all kinds of names and, you know, just ridiculed and made fun of, also his bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Rubio, who he said, you know, had tiny hands and said he wasn't a man, basically, also his bitch. All of these people that stood up to Trump so much in the presidential elections when they were hoping to become president, now that they haven't, they want to stay on the good side of the Republican Party, so they're just being his bitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they piss off the heads of the GOP, then, or the RNC, they are going to lose funding. And that's just it. If they lose money, they won't get reelected. They'll lose their cushy lifestyle. And they'll go back to their normal lives.
Chris Christie has a 15% approval rating.
Yep. He sure does.
He needs all the help he can get.
Yep. He's going to need all the money.
I don't know, man. I get so tired of talking about this, but.
Ben, I mean, it's politicians in general. You have to keep the party happy because the party is what keeps you employed.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. There aren't very many people in Congress right now that could run a successful campaign without the help of their party.
And that was one of the big things Donald Trump ran on, was I don't need anybody's help financially. I've already got money. I won't campaign. I won't sell out to the businesses and the lobbyists and stuff like that. Yeah. Cause I can afford my own stuff. And then the moment he got into the office, the whole drain the swamp thing became bringing people in that were the exact people that he swore he would get rid of.
He made the swamp a little clearer for all of his buddies.
Yeah. They could see easier is what it was. And no one stands up to him. No one is standing up to him. And the people that are trying to stand up to him, you know, we just get dismissed, fake news and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, no one in his own party is standing up to him.
Yeah. Because reasons, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed in America.
You're not the only one.
This country, it's never been perfect, but it's so much potential to be good. And for us to take so many steps backwards now, because of all the people that felt slighted over the past 8 years of progress, finally got their podium to speak from, it's a sad state of affairs for this country.
Yeah.
We were once a bright beacon on the hill for other countries, and now we really are the laughingstock of the world.
Yeah.
No one respects us. No one takes us seriously. Donald Trump has done nothing in office. He's passed no bills, as far as I know. Actually, no, that's true. He has passed a bunch of stuff. Stuff so insignificant you've never even heard of. Like little things. And he touts it like it's the biggest blockbuster. He said he's done more than any president's ever done in this amount of time. Like,
I mean, like, he's well known for lying about his accomplishments in office.
Fake news.
Like, he all the time talks about, like, he talked about even his inauguration. Most people. There.
Ever. Sean Spicer went out there and said it was the most people to ever witness a presidential, inauguration in history. Period.
Yeah.
He put that on there. Period. And now where's Sean Spicer?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's been replaced at this point.
Yeah, well, I know he was being replaced. I don't know if he's been replaced yet.
I know Sarah Huckabee's been doing it mostly. I don't know if she's the only one doing it, but she's been doing it. Every time I see a conference, she's the one doing it. And she does a better job of it because she's more confrontational than he is. And I don't know.
I don't know. Spicy was pretty confrontational.
Yeah, you can tell he got nervous. Like when he would get angry. I think he got actually angry, whereas Sarah Huckabee kind of keeps it more subtle. I don't know. They're both terrible. The whole administration's terrible. Everything about that administration is terrible.
I mean, it's really hard for them to do their job when the president keeps doing stuff like whenever they're trying to save face and trying to save PR. And I'm not saying that I'm not trying to come to their defense or anything, but whenever they try to say something like, for example, the travel ban, it is absolutely not a travel ban. And then Trump tweets out, it's a travel ban, guys. Call it what it is. We need to get it instated. Americans are in danger.
America first.
So yeah, he tries to say that, and then people are like, well, what about his tweets? And like, oh no, what a Donnie tweet now.
Donnie. I know a Donnie. Let's not put them in the same,
Well, that's fair.
Cause I like Donnie.
I do like that Donnie.
Lindsay, you like Donnie too.
Uh-huh.
So that's the only news I've been paying attention to this week. I meant to come here with a whole laundry list of things to talk about. I was gonna try to put some fun stuff in there, and then Donald Trump Jr. happened, and that's all I've been paying attention to. So, Lindsay, is anything else happening in the world right now?
That's what I was trying to remember. Like, I seriously thought I had something to bring up to you, and I cannot for the life of me remember.
We can talk about Shia LaBeouf.
We can. Before we do that, let's talk about you changing your socks 3 times a day.
So I changed my socks 3 times a day.
That's a lot of socks.
That's a lot of socks. That's
I don't like damp socks.
I don't either.
So my shoes come off, the socks come off, and a new pair goes on.
Have you ever tried putting, like, deodorant on your feet?
No, but that sounds gross and sticky.
No, there's actually a buddy of mine that I lived with in college. I'm not going to put him on blast here. But he was pretty notorious for having like really, really smelly feet.
Dirtfoot is what we used to call him.
You don't know who I'm talking about.
I don't at all.
He actually did buy a specific deodorant for his feet because he really liked to wear flip-flops in particular. And when he would walk, you know, the flip-flops would actually kind of waft that funk at you.
It would waft the funk at you. I like that.
That is an interesting word.
I like that phrase.
So yeah, he actually bought. He was pretty self-conscious about it because people would give him crap about it. Me frequently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he actually bought deodorant.
I've never been stinky, as far as I know.
If I've ever been stinky, like, I make it a point to tell anybody that I know, like, let me know if I smell bad.
Yeah.
So that I can go and rectify the situation.
If I smell like fish, let me know.
I want to fix the problem. I want to make it go away.
Right.
So please, if I stink, just let me know. Yeah, I won't be upset.
There was a time when I was growing up, and Bob, it was myself and Bob, my roommate, you know, Jack McNeil, and our friend Justin Aiden, and we had this sort of friend that was really my brother's girlfriend's son. You know who I'm talking about. He comes in the store, red hair, pale skin. No one likes him, really.
I know who you're talking
about. You know
what
I'm talking about. But anyway, so he's...
I probably recognize him if I saw
him. I'll tell you the name afterwards. You don't know who it is. But he always smelled terrible. He smelled bad. I don't know if it was a washing scenario or what. And I liked the guy just fine. Don't get me wrong. But he smelled bad. But we didn't have the heart to tell him he smelled bad because that's embarrassing and we didn't want to be a jerk. So instead, we made fun of him behind his back. Because when you're younger, that's what you do. And and when I say younger, I mean, like, we're in our 20s at this point, right? So one day we used to make fun of him because we would do this thing where we, like, lift our arm and we put it in each other's face and go, do I smell bad? Is it me? And we do it right in front of him. And he didn't know it was him. We made it sound like it was Bob. Was the joke. And then one day he decided to join in. So he put his funky underarm right in Bob's face and was like, is it me? And Bob's like, nah, man.
Knowing Bob, I'm surprised you're like, yeah, motherfucker.
This was a different Bob.
Bob was a lot calmer back then. I think he said he smelled like maggots and death is what I think he said. It was maggots and something. But it was just right in his face. So if you ever want to get Bob to smile, just kind of put your armpit in his face and go, is it me, Bob? And just watch him. Yeah, that was bad. I can't recall anyone stinky that I've ever been around other than, like, Dante, because you guys made it very known that he didn't smell as good as you'd like him to.
Or it's as good as would be standard for a hygienic human being.
A growing young lad.
Yeah, no, the boy. And I honestly don't think.
Sorry.
your list. Anyway, I honestly don't think that it was it wasn't a BO problem. It wasn't that he didn't shower or put on deodorant. His house just stank.
Yeah.
Well, so his clothes stank.
Plus he's a teenager. And yeah. I'm pretty sure teenagers create extra funk.
Well, I mean, that's true, but, like, he was like 16, 17. And by that point, like, you know that you smell bad.
Right.
Like, whenever you're 13, 14, you know, you start going through puberty, 12, 13, 14, whatever. And that's when, you know, like, the BO starts to kick in and you really have to start wearing antiperspirant.
Yeah.
It's excusable for you to smell bad at that point. By the time you're 17, you know about BO.
I have yet to find an antiperspirant that really works.
What do you mean?
Well, like, it doesn't matter what I try, I still get a little wet under the arm sometimes. Now, part of that is because it's a goddamn 116 degrees in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, once you hit a certain temperature, there's no amount of antiperspirant that's going to save you.
Yeah, although Bob and I have the same problem. I don't know if you have this problem, too. It's like me and him are the only two that I know of where I will just start sweating for no reason at all. Like, if I'm just sitting there and someone just walks up and touches my skin, sweat starts to pour down my face. Like, I can't. The reason, all right, so everyone makes fun of me. Well, they don't make fun of me, but everyone points out the fact that I don't wear sleeves a lot of the time. And they're assuming maybe it's because I want to show off these arms. I really don't. I'm not really proud of them. It's strictly because if I wear sleeves, I will pour buckets of sweat. It will just happen. I need to have as much. I'm a human Onichambara. I need as much of my skin exposed as possible. Otherwise, I will die. Except I don't look nearly as good in a bikini as those girls.
Well,
hold judgment till you see it. Really. Yeah, but so I try all these different antiperspirants and deodorants, and it's like 24-hour protection. No sweat. Okay, let's give it a try. 2 hours later, I'm sweating.
Well, see, like, I've never found, like, an antiperspirant that has prevented me from sweating, like, doing certain things. But what I look for is just a deodorant that whenever I start sweating, that I won't smell bad.
Well, see, yeah, they do that. They do that. But I thought antiperspirant mean I won't perspir.
it helps with it. But yeah, no, you're still going to sweat. That's just human nature. It's how it happens.
Unless I'm doing something like physical, like I love sweating when I play baseball. When we go out to the diamonds, I love sweating. Or, you know, if I play football or something like that, or if I'm lifting, I love sweating because that makes me feel like I'm doing it right. When I'm sitting on the couch with a girl, I don't like to sweat.
I said nervous sweat.
I don't understand people that have sex sweating. What? You know what I mean? Like people that, you see it in the movies all the time, that hot, sweaty, passionate sex. If I feel a drip of sweat during sex, I stop. Sex is over. Sex is done.
You're officially no longer happy.
There is literally a time I was having sex with a girl and she was on the bottom and I was on top and I dripped sweat onto Lindsay's face. I'm sorry, onto her face. And it was the worst fucking feeling because I saw her wipe it off. I know she knows. And at that point, we're going to sit there and pretend that didn't happen. I can't continue to do this.
I guess that's fair. I know a lot of people just kind of think about like, well, sweat is like probably the least icky fluid you're exchanging in that series of events.
Disagree. Sweat. I don't know who has sticky, hot, sweaty sex, but you're doing it wrong. I like my sex to be as corpse-like as possible. Cold and clammy. Not clammy. Sorry. It's cold. Cool. Lindsay, anything you'd like to add?
No.
I like sex at like 40 degrees, you know? I really do. I like cold sex.
I mean, just in general, I like being cold.
I do too. The problem with that though is that when you get to that level, the girl doesn't want to be naked for sex because she's freezing. Me, I'm perfectly fine.
Well, see,
she is ice cold at this point. She has a blanket over her. She's wearing a hoodie during sex because it's so cold. And I'm like, this ain't sexy. Well, neither is 40 degree sex to anyone but me and Bob, apparently.
Well, see, like I'm what's called a heat rock. All you need to do to be warm is be within a foot of me.
You radiate the heat.
I radiate heat.
Start calling you Jub Jub.
Jub, I don't know. I don't get that joke.
I don't either.
But yeah, no, that's always been a thing. Like, and it doesn't matter, like, what time of year it is, like, how warm, how cold any room is. Like, Mandy for years, Krista, Katie, all of them, Lily, whenever they were cold, they just, like, got really close.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're warm.
Well, Lindsay, you said the same thing about me all the time, mm-hmm. that you need to get close to me because I'm a furnace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a curse is what it is. Because I get hot really easy. I don't know about mm-hmm. you. Like, I hate summer. A lot of you motherfuckers out there talking about, I love this temperature. Fuck you. Well, no one likes this temperature.
No.
Like, my average body temperature is actually lower than 98.6. Like, that's a thing. So, why are you looking at me like
that? I'm trying to figure it out in my head what that means. That means you're warmer or colder?
So 98.6 is obviously your average body temperature. If you are warm, or like, if your body temperature is cooler, that means heat is more impactful to you.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you may very well be the same thing. Because I know, like, for me, when I was in elementary school in particular, it was hell. Because if I had, like, if my temperature was, like, 99 point something, that was, like, 100, maybe 101 for other people. But I wouldn't get sent home because it's like, it's close enough. It's like, no.
No, it needs to be sent home.
I need to go home. I feel terrible.
This is
fever territory.
Lindsay likes to surround herself in blankets.
I like my nest.
Even in the summer, like you should see her room now. She has blankets and stuffed animals everywhere. She cocoons herself into it. Even, you know, when we used to sleep together and I would have, on a hot night, she would have blankets all over her, and I'm sitting
there. That's because you would have the AC cranked and a huge fan pointed right at the bed.
I would try to have the AC cranked. When the AC was cranked, it was still 78 degrees in our freaking apartment. So yeah, I'm sitting there in just like the wife beater, the shorts, and I'm panting. I have a little mister that she bought, a mister, and I spray myself with it constantly to try to cool myself off. And she's sitting there under blankets, and I'm like, how are you not sweating your ass off? And she doesn't. Hello.
Well, we told you the story about, I don't know if
please don't be mad at me. Are you
I'm
mad
not.
At me?
Okay.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not. Mandy, her turning on the AC for the first time this summer.
Yeah, I think you did. Cause wasn't her apartment.
Well, that's
like,
cause she's cheap.
Well,
she's admitted that herself.
I mean, not just that.
What was her apartment at?
Her apartment was at 85 degrees when she finally, it was like 85 or 86. When she finally decided to turn on the AC. And the only reason she turned on the AC, she was comfortable. She turned on the AC because her son, Mikey, she had laid out pajamas for him, like shorts and like a child-sized wife beater. laid out pajamas for him. He instead put on like his full pajamas, which are like a long sleeve pajama shirt and long, like, you know, pajama pants.
Mm-mm.
And Mandy's just like, oh, well, it's probably easier just to turn on the AC so that he doesn't die than try and persuade him to get into something that's going to be less,
a little,
you know,
cooler.
A little cooler.
Yeah.
So yeah, she texted me and Andrew that, Andrew, my roommate, and Andrew replied even before I did, just like, so we will not be coming to your house anytime soon. Because even now, like, I think she takes her AC to like 79.
Nah. I like to keep, I like, all right, see, and no joke intended, 69 is the sweet spot for me when it comes to like AC. 68 yes. If I'm warm. Anything above like 70, I'm miserable. Miserable, sorry. Yeah,
like 70 degrees outside, like as an outside temperature.
That's great.
That's fine.
But in an apartment.
Yeah, in an apartment, like it's got to be like, yeah, 69 is where I keep it too.
Yeah. If I go outside and it's 75 degrees, I'm comfortable. I'm like, I love this weather. But if I go inside and it's 75 degrees, it just feels like warm air. Just warm, stagnant air, and it's miserable.
I don't know why it's so different, like inside versus outside.
I never even thought of it till you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
Because to me,
airflow is a huge thing.
Well, like we have fans on and stuff, and that helps a little, but 75 degrees inside feels like 90 outside.
It's really contained. Weird. I mean, I don't even know, like, if it's, you know, quite that extreme, but yeah, no, it's definitely like I said, my apartment right now, 69 degrees. If my apartment gets to like 73, 74, even with a fan facing me and a ceiling fan going, I'm still real warm.
Yeah. I mean,
you're just going to be real warm in my store, period.
Or in our apartment.
AC doesn't turn on until it hits 74.
Yeah. Well, we have the AC on at our apartment. It's set to 70. It's still 74 degrees in there. And upstairs is even worse.
To be fair, it's really hot out right now.
It's really hot outside. And I guess you can, well, but then I started, I asked Allie today. I was like, why is the apartment 75 degrees when it's set to 70? But this store, if I set to 68 degrees, it's 68 degrees.
Yeah.
It stays plenty cool in the store. Lindsay's usually freezing. Mandy sits over here in a goddamn blanket.
Accurate.
But when we go back to
Lindsay is here in a hoodie.
She's in a hoodie right now.
I'm comfortable right now.
I'm still a little warm.
I am also a little toasty. but yeah, no, I don't get it. I just don't.
And, you know, I always tell myself whenever the heat comes out and it's time to get warm, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to get sweaty. I'm going to run. I'm going to do all these things. Time to get back into shape. Every year it's time to get back into shape.
No.
And yeah, it's miserable. And the one time, I think I've told this story before, the one time I decided to go for a run and it was summer or spring or something. It was beautiful outside. It was a little warm. So I go out in, just a sleeveless shirt, shorts. I go out to the old, trail by the apartment. You know, the one.
Yeah.
And I go for a run there and I'm by myself because Bob likes to go running with me, but Bob's better than me and Lindsay's better than me. So I don't want them to embarrass me because I can run decent. I can run for a little bit, but then I need to catch my breath. My shins feel like glass. I mean, it's bad.
Oh, I still have to catch my breath. Don't get me wrong.
Not as bad as me though. I'm the worst when it comes to
running.
Try
this couch to 5K thing.
I like the couch part. So I go for the run this one time, and as I'm running, a group of the most beautiful college girls you've ever seen is running toward me. And I'm talking like that dream sequence from a movie. There's like four of them. They're all in amazing shape. They're in tiny little sports bras and tiny shorts that are basically underwear. And they've got one guy running with them. And of course, he's in perfect shape too. His shirt's off. He's just in shorts, the muscles and the abs. And they're running toward me. And I'm like, well, I'm a piece of shit. I should just lay down on the fucking road and die.
Yeah. And every time that happens, you just try really hard to, whenever they're passing, not be going,
yeah, yeah. Or looking. I have to pretend they don't exist because I don't want them to be upset that this thing looked at them. So they run past me and I'm still running and I don't know how far they ran, but I'm still on the same trail and they run back past me again because they never stop running. I have to stop every 10 seconds to catch my breath, but they run the entire fucking time. And now I'm staring at their butts as they run by and all of them had amazing butts, especially the guy. And I still feel terrible.
Well, that was like whenever I was in high school and I first started running, I decided that my first foray into running was going to be with my two friends that were on an all-state cross-country team.
That was a mistake.
It was a terrible mistake. So I go out there, and not only that, but I didn't have shoes for it. I decided I was going to run. The only shoes I owned when I was a senior in high school were skater shoes.
Why would you do that?
I didn't know.
It was a fashion choice, Linz.
It was a lifestyle.
It was a lifestyle choice.
So I go out there in like an older pair of skater shoes, and you know, I did lace them up so they're a little tighter. But yeah, I'm sitting there trying to run with these guys, and yeah,
your feet were probably killing you after 5 minutes.
They were. And on top of that, like, I felt really bad for them because, you know, they were actually, you know, they're going on a run. They were practicing.
They had to wait for you, didn't they?
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's after the second time that I had to stop.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you guys, I'll meet back up. Just please
go ahead of me. Please stop embarrassing me.
Just leave me behind. Because these two, of course, they were in great shape. Again, like all state cross country runners, they were both on the academic team with me. And that's how I knew them. They were good friends of mine. And I'm sure that they didn't care, but at the same time, I felt awful.
Yeah.
And there was no amount of, like, anything they could say that would have convinced me to allow them to keep stopping for me every, like, minute.
Right. You were just embarrassed and ashamed.
Yeah. Because, on top of, my feet were hurting because, I was wearing skateboarding shoes. I was extremely out of shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sitting there trying to run with them, and it wasn't happening.
And it's so hard to get in shape and so easy to get out. Isn't that frustrating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I've never been in great shape, but I wasn't always in bad shape. There was a time where we worked out pretty often, and I felt pretty good about myself. And then I hurt my leg playing tennis with Bob. I had to take off a couple of weeks, probably a couple of months, because it healed slow. I didn't go to the doctor because why would I? And by the time I got back to where I could like run and play tennis, do that stuff, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I want to sit on the couch, eat pizza, and watch King of the Hill. And that's what I did. And that's what I still do. And now it's like, it feels like it's so impossible for me to get back into shape or get into good shape at all. I would love once in my life to be at a point where I could be happy with the way I looked just once.
I mean, and see, I look back at like pictures of myself, especially from, because that was my first foray into running, but I actually started doing it a lot after my senior year. And I still remember like the first time I met you. I looked a lot different back then. And looking
back. You had longer
hair. Yeah, I did. I really did. Looking back on that, like, I thought I hated how I looked and I thought I was really unhealthy and everything else. Looking back, I'm like, ooh. What I would give.
Yeah. There's that old saying that, man, I wish I looked as fat as I was when I thought I was fat.
I wish I was as thin as I was when I thought I was fat.
Yeah. Yeah. When I look at pictures of myself, I don't always, depending on the picture, I don't see much of a difference. But then other pictures, I see a big difference. If I see myself in just the wrong angle, because I mean.
Well, that's anybody though.
And that's the sad part. That is truly a sad part. Like, the most attractive person in the best shape. I don't know a single person that's proud of the way they look. At all. Like, Allie's thin. Allie's not, like, super thin, but she's thin and she looks very nice. She hates the way she looks. Lindsay hates the way she looks. We hate the way we look. Even Steven doesn't like the way he looks. And I'm like, Steven, of all of us, you are the most attractive one. Arguably. He's definitely in the best shape of all of us.
Yeah, no, because
he's
a
runner.
One.
You know, he did all that stuff, and he doesn't like the way he looks. And you know, you can say that it's a society thing that you should be happy with the way you are, and that's true. But at the same time, you should strive to be healthy.
Yeah,
life sucks. It's so confusing. I miss the old days.
Yeah, well, a lot of people say you're happier when you're healthier, but
you don't get the pizza then.
Which makes me sad.
There ain't no point if there's no gummy bears.
I need the gummy bears. Oh, speaking of pizza, I had a pizza from Paglia's 2 days ago. And I remember, you know, the story. I don't know if you saw the story Hunter told in a group chat about getting pizza from Casey's. And yeah. he ordered a cheese and they gave him sausage.
What?
Yeah. That's funny in itself. The funniest part is imagining Parker wanting that pizza so bad, but it's the wrong one. I don't think he got that pizza.
Well, no. Parker was thinking, oh, perfect. It's the wrong one. That means I can have it, right?
Give me the whole pizza, right? I don't think so. So I ordered a pizza from Paglia's. I sold my guitar. Sorry, Curb. Sold my guitar. And I ended up buying Final Fantasy XII on PS4 because I want to play through that. And I started a little bit, and it's great. I bought a Steam card so I could buy Fire Pro Wrestling, which is good. And then the rest of the money, I decided I was going to buy dinner for everybody. So I was going to do Paglia's because that's my favorite pizza. You know that. So I ordered a pepperoni, extra cheese. Allie got tortellini or something like that.
Tortellini.
It said tortellini, but I'll believe you because that sounds better. Tortellini sounds like a terrible hybrid of a turtle and Lonnie.
I mean.
With that in your head.
He already looks pretty turtle-esque.
He did shave him and put a shell on him. And then Lindsay was being difficult, so she got mozzarella sticks.
She's yeah, quiet. What? Yeah. I'm sorry I'm picky and I don't like marinara sauce.
I get the pizza. And mind you, Paglia's pizza, or Paglia's, depending on who you are.
It's Paglia's.
If you want to be wrong. It's like $16 a pie.
Yeah, it's not cheap pizza.
It's not cheap pizza. You get what you pay for, though. It's quality. Except this time. Because I opened up the box at home. I didn't check it at the store because I love Paglia's, Paglia's, whatever. And I pull it open. There's no extra cheese on it. It's just one small layer of cheese. And you know how you get a pizza from Little Caesar sometimes and it looks like it's been sitting in the crisper for an hour?
Yeah, the tumors?
Well, no tumors. But the cheese was like a dull gray almost. Like, it didn't look fresh. Mm. I ate it and it was still good, but it wasn't Paglia's good.
Yeah.
And I know Paglia's isn't listening to this, but I'm kind of disappointed. And you burned me once when you gave me a burnt crust pizza. I forgave that. And I don't know if I can learn to love again.
And see, well, that's the problem that I have with Paglia's. Like, it used to be like super high quality, my favorite pizza, but it got to be so inconsistent because I would go there sometimes and I would get just, you know, one of the best pizzas I've ever had in my life. And then I would go the next time and yeah, I would get like your thing. It looked like I ordered, you know, pepperoni, extra cheese or whatever. And they had a pepperoni that somebody never picked up, so they just gave me that one.
Yeah, that's how I felt, that they had it sitting up top, and they're like, well, you know, we got this one, just give that one to them.
Yeah.
You don't do that at Paglia's Pizza. Mm-hmm.
No, if I'm paying $16 for a pie, like, yeah. I want, you know,
you make that
fresh.
Shit fresh. Yeah. Yeah.
If I want a pizza that's been sitting in the warmer, I'll go to Little Caesars and pay $5.
Yeah, or $6 if you want the extra most bestest pizza you've ever had.
And it has just extra cheese and pepperoni already on it.
Yeah, and it's arguably better sometimes than a pizza that's been sitting out at Paglia's.
No, yeah, I mean, I would take that. I would take a fresh one of those over, like a left and warmer Paglia's pizza.
That's so depressing.
Yeah. And I would say like Paddle Wheel is my go-to now for really expensive pizza. Though I'm still like, I'm now a little.
Very expensive.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's the same price as Pags.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's really expensive pizza though, but I had like, I'm a little like gun shy now because, the last time I tried to get pizza from Paddle Wheel, they messed up big time.
You had a bad experience.
I had a terrible experience. They did rectify the situation. I got contacted. They gave me a free pizza and, you know, it was all good. And the pizza, especially the remade one, was delicious. The short version of the story is I had one pizza and toasted raviolis sitting out they don't have a warmer at Paddle Wheel. So I had my pizza sitting out just on the table for 35 minutes before they finished my other pizza that they had screwed up. There were other things that made that experience awful, but yeah, no, that's
the important part.
Yeah. Suffice it to say that pizza was gross.
Yeah.
By the time I got it.
Yeah.
Because it was, by the time I got it home and opened, it was about an hour out of the oven.
Ew.
Which, yeah, I mean, if I'm paying, you know, like $16-$20 for a pie, I want it to be fresh and delicious.
Yeah. You get what you pay for. That's the point. That's why we don't go to Little Caesar sometimes. You spend that extra money because you want that. You want that quality.
Yeah.
You know, but why do that? Just go to Marco's. I like, go to these chain places because they at least.
Yeah, no.
You know, like you have a better chance of it not being cold.
And yeah, as much as like, Paglia's and Paddle Wheel both have better quality pizza by far than any of the chains around here.
Yeah.
But every single one of the chains, except for Domino's, is more consistent.
Oh, Domino's. What's up?
Yeah, no.
What's up with you?
No Domino's.
I don't get that. Sometimes I'll get a Domino's pizza and it is fresh and cheesy and it's like, this is incredible. And other times I'll get it and I'll go, where is the cheese though?
Oh, yeah. You remember like, there briefly, we were ordering it. We here at the studio, we sometimes watch the WWE pay-per-views.
Yes.
And we always get pizza. We all hang out. It's a good time.
Yes.
There for a minute, Domino's was doing just the crazy good deal. It was like, what was the $7.99 large three topping carryout?
Take out. Yeah.
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 So we were doing that because it's super cheap pizza and like Domino's it's a step above Little Caesars most of the time.
Yeah.
Except for all three times we tried Domino's for pay-per-views. one of them was so bad. It was actually cut so poorly that there was a triangle in the middle of the pizza.
I remember that.
What? Yeah.
And not only that, like not only was it cut so poorly that there was this triangle in the middle, we still had to get out like a plastic knife because it's the only thing we had here.
And cut the rest of it.
And actually, yeah, cut it through.
Yep.
Because it was not cut through all the way.
Yep.
And the crust was a little burnt, so the plastic knife was not working.
I was so pissed at that pizza. I don't think I've had Domino's since.
Nope, I haven't either. That was the final straw, like the final strike, and it was by far the worst one. Yeah. The other two were pretty meh pizza, but this was bad.
Yeah, and I can't think of any pizza places I like to get in Cape anymore, other than Little Caesars because it's cheap and effective.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll just get it at Walmart. I know that sounds terrible, but I'll buy a take and bake or I'll buy like DiGiorno and just take it home and cook it because I at least know it's going to be done and fresh because it's going to come out of my oven.
Yeah. I mean, me and Andrew, have gotten Papa John's a couple of times since.
We like Papa. We like Papa Lynn's.
Yeah. They're doing that 50% off. Oh yeah. They're doing that 50% off like your entire order thing right now here in the local Cape and Jackson stores.
Really?
Yeah, have you not heard about this?
No.
It's been going for almost a month.
Hmm.
yeah, I mean, in fact, like...
We must retire to speak of things.
Uh-huh. two nights ago, actually, we got some pizza from the Papa.
Well, I had chicken Caesar last night. I think I'm owed some unhealth.
So, should I break your heart, unfortunately?
Uh-oh.
About what?
Planet Fitness isn't moving in.
What?
People I know further down in the complex, the people that are moving into Hastings came down and introduced themselves.
And so what is it?
And it's not Planet Fitness. It's that other one that I was telling you about that was going to move in where NARS used to be. It's that, like, the discount store, like, furniture and stuff is going in there instead.
But I saw Planet Fitness.
I know. Something happened. I talked with someone that's talked with the building manager, and it's not Planet Fitness now. I don't know what happened, but they're not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong because I was really looking forward to that. Ties into my whole wanting to get healthy thing. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'm just going to get pizza now. All right. Well, we're going to get pizza. We got to get out of here. Real quick, I want to send a special shout out to Villainous Grounds because they have a comic based on The Howling.
Really?
It's great. I don't understand it.
I mean, whatever. I picked up the one based on Clue.
You did?
Yeah.
When did you do that?
I stopped in and bought a short box one day after work, and I picked it up, too.
Oh, that's fine. Anyway, we'll give a shout-out to them. I also want to give a shout-out to Press Start to Join.
No, we love actually – okay, real quick. We have an article that I'm reading right here from KFVS 12 News.
What's the date?
It is May 22nd.
Ooh, that was a while back, though.
May? Wasn't that far ago? January, February, March,
April, May, June, July. Okay. Yeah. So 2 months ago, less than 2 months ago.
Yeah. Official that Planet Fitness will move in where Hastings used to be.
Lindsay, I hope you're wrong on this.
John Mayer with the Chamber of Commerce says this is another improvement.
I mean,
it was
the building manager that was spoken to.
Are you sure that they're not the ones moving into NARS, maybe?
Huh?
And it's just in the same area?
Well, he's not in charge of that other building over there.
We'll look into this. We'll keep you guys updated. Not that you care, but we'll keep you updated anyway. Anyway, yeah, we got to get out of here. Go to Podzilla1985.com and listen to the old shows. Go to Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Leave us some feedback. Tell us how much you love us because we need it. And then Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. You can support us. We would very much appreciate that. Also, check out Press Start to Join. I just like to promote them because I really like those guys. Need to get that game going. And also Villainous Grounds where you can get The Howling. Whatever.
You can also get, and you'll hear more about this on Sunday, Lights, if you are a fan of that musician, you can get her new comic book at Villainous Grounds.
Is this the one that Mandy told me I needed to get?
Yes.
Lights. Are you talking about Ellie Goulding?
No.
That is some bass rattling behind us right there.
Yes.
We're about to go join this fucking party. We'll see you guys later. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back on Sunday for Nerd Up. And of
Monday for Nerd Up Presents.
Are you doing? You're doing two though, right?
Yes.
Double the Nerd Up next week. How fucking lucky are you guys? Have a great night.